Buenos dias, otra vez. Well, we're glad to be here today. Remember the pastor, he's out of town today. He should be back by the next Sunday without any difficulty. Those who have your Bibles now, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 10. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Our Father, we come to you at this time and pray that thy Holy Spirit might help us today to understand your word, and that we might apply it to our lives in order that we might serve you in the way pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Here we find in our scripture what I want to use as a text today. And our subject would be meeting with God. For each one of us will meet with God one day, sooner or later. And as I think about our life here, there are seven things that we find, or six things that I want to mention to start with. And these are six steps that happen in our life here upon the earth. It begins, of course, with birth. Then we have our childhood, our preparation, our training, our profession, and that followed by death, and then eternity. Now, most all of us have already gone through our training period. We're now in that part of the time in which we are living for the Lord and seeking to serve Him in the best way. But the next step in our life is that what we fear the most, and that is death. All of us are already on that road, so that we're going to arrive there very soon. I know that Jerry and I have been to two funerals within the last month, and most of them, one of them was older than us, that was Esther Lee Martin, and then another one was her brother-in-law, and he was a little younger than we are, but he still was up in years. And that's the next step for every one of us. Sooner or later, every one of us are going to meet death, and that's going to be the next step that we face. But now, death does not annihilate us, for we do not cease to exist at that time. Death is simply a passageway in which we leave this life and we go into the life to come. All of us understand this and we know that. And so in this lifespan here on our earth, we have to know that we're preparing ourselves now for eternity. Every one of us need to understand, and I think we do, that we're going to live in eternity, and this is the life that we now have to prepare us for our life that we will live in eternity. And it's determined by a great extent by what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our text was that we read to you today. For it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. And so this is the place where we prepare to meet the Lord. I'm sure every one of us realize that that's our next step. We already reached that point now that we're looking forward to the time that the death is going to overtake us, and we're going to have to meet the Lord face to face at that day. Now, when we do, we need to understand that the Lord holds us accountable for the way we are here and live in this life. As I turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you will turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I read in verse 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So every believer someday is going to stand before the Lord. And he describes that judgment for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read just a few verses from that. This Bible's older than me, I think, from the way it acts. It doesn't want to work just right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I read beginning in verse 11. Well, again, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now this describes the judgment that we as believers are going to have to undergo. We don't have the same judgment that the lost people will have. Our judgment is going to be for rewards. And the rewards that you and I will receive are going to be determined by the life that we live here upon this earth after we have been saved. The Lord was going to prepare us for this judgment right here in verse 13, where he said, every man's work shall be made manifest, and he is going to determine what our rewards will be, determined by the way we live our lives after we have been saved. So there's going to come a time then when all believers will be removed from the earth, and when we are, we will then go into judgment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I read this frequently at funeral services, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4. My Bible just does not turn like it used to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read beginning in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's coming a time then when all believers are going to be removed from this earth, and at this time we will receive our reward. Now there's two stages in the return of the Lord, as we pointed out to you, this first one, and that's when we will be resurrected, or if we're alive when the Lord comes, be caught up there, and the Lord will then be ready to hand out to us the reward that you and I will receive as a result of our life that we live here upon this earth. Now, with Christians who are still leaving, the Lord, when he comes, we're going to leave and go with him and leave behind everything we have here, and all that we will have remaining will be what rewards that we will have at that day and time. At this time, we will go before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the unsaved will not go before the judgment seat of Christ. That's just you and me, those who are saved. And there the Lord will determine and point out to us the life that we have lived as to whether these rewards will be given for many are few. Whatever rewards they may be, they are rewards that you and I will earn and deserve because of the life that we have lived after we have been saved. For the unsaved, this will not be their judgment. Their judgment is a different judgment. The judgment you and I have is strictly a judgment for rewards. But for the unsaved, they're going to have a judgment that will determine where they will spend eternity. There'll be some that will have no rewards at all, though, even among Christians. As we pointed out to you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he told us there in chapter 3 that there are some saved people that have wasted their lives, and as such, they will have no rewards at all. Now, as I think about that of our church right here, And as I look at the congregation we have before us today, you and I are serving the Lord, and I believe faithfully. And that's why we're here at the Lord's Day, this Sunday morning. We're serving the Lord, and therefore our rewards are going to be determined by how well we serve the Lord. And I thank every one of us here today that we have a good start on our being earning these rewards, because we are serving the Lord on the Lord's Day by being here in His house of worship. As He said in verse 11, He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones." And so those are the things that will receive rewards, the gold, the precious stones that we will receive. Then there are the other three kinds He mentions here, and that is wood, hay, and stubble. And I'm afraid that sometimes we have things in our own life that might be considered as wood, hay, or stubble. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones are those things that the Lord is going to reward. And this will be done when He comes back to receive us to be with Him. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, He wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, we read in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so He tells us that we are to lay up treasures for ourselves. There are saved that are living wasted lives. They do not serve the Lord. They've been saved. They belong to the Lord. But since their salvation, they are not really serving the Lord. And therefore, they're not going to receive these treasures that the Lord says that we can lay up for ourselves. Now, what is the result then when the Lord comes? Well, for those of us that are saved, the Lord is going to give us these rewards at that time. The rewards are going to be given for our faithfulness and our service unto the Lord. Faithfulness or unfaithfulness will determine the result. And if you're unfaithful, then you rob yourselves in this life and in the life to come of many of the blessings and the rewards that God would give for His people there. Now, for the unbeliever, there are going to be rewards as well. They're not thought of as rewards. But if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, we read beginning in verse 12. He says, well, let me begin with verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So an unsaved person is going to undergo this judgment right here. I mentioned a moment ago the fact that we as believers are going to have a judgment, but it is not a judgment as regards whether we are saved or not. This judgment would be for rewards. But now the judgment that we read about here is a judgment for those who are the unsaved, those who are the lost. And when an unsaved person dies, the body goes to the grave and the spirit goes to hell or Hades. There are three words. We'll not really take time to discuss them this morning. But there are three words that are translated hell in the English language. And the one that we have here is the word for Hades, which means a place for disembodied spirits. And this is where unsaved people are going to spend their eternity waiting for the judgment of the Lord. And when the judgment of the Lord comes, they will be brought before His throne, as we have read here in Revelation chapter 20. And this is where they will receive their final judgment. The same person that sees, that smells, that tastes, and has all of these senses, this is the same person that is going to spend the eternity in hell. They will die physically to begin with. They will go into Hades, or the place for disembodied spirits, and they will stay there until the great white throne judgment that we read about here in Revelation chapter 20. And they will then have to come before the Lord and stand before the Lord, and there He will give them that judgment that the lost people will have. As He says in the book of Matthew there, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." So regardless of what some people tell you, there is a judgment for those that are the unsaved, and that judgment will be when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at that judgment here in Revelation chapter 21. And the body will be brought out of the grave, the soul will be brought out of Hades, and they will then stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, who will tell them their judgment, which is an eternity in hell without Christ and without hope. You will then bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ then, as your Lord and Savior would, or you will now bow the knee at the judgment seat of Christ. So it depends on who you bow your knee to when. If we're saved, we will bow the knee to the Lord and receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. But for the unsaved person, this will be the day of judgment in which they will bow the knee unto Him, but it will be too late for their salvation. They will then confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it will be too late for their salvation there. So you'll either bow the knee to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you will bow the knee at the judgment seat of Christ. That which determines the difference is to whether you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As I look at the congregation today, I would hope that everyone that is here knows Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I do not know. I cannot see your heart. I do not know. Oh, I know that you're here today. I know that you do come here often, nearly every service of the church. But I cannot look at your heart and tell whether you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And regardless of how often you attend church, how often you read your Bible, how often you pray, how often you do what we may think of as Christian or religious things you do, how often you do that does not determine whether you are saved or lost. What determines whether you are saved or lost is whether there has been a time in your life that you turned in repentance and faith and you trusted or received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you die in that condition, that means that you're going to spend that eternity in hell. The unsaved at their point of death will come before the Lord at this judgment seat that we read about here in Revelation, and they will hear the awful words of judgment: "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." And the unsaved will then be cast into the lake of fire for all the ages of eternity. I thought about this week, about eternity. Just how long is eternity? And you know, it's really hard to consider eternity. It's hard to think about the fact that there's no end, that you live forever and ever and ever, and there's no end of eternity. Now, where you spend that eternity is going to be determined by what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same eternity that you and I as believers look forward to, that same eternity that you and I look forward to because we know that we will be with the Lord, that is the same eternity that the unsaved person will look forward to, but not with any joy at all. Because the unsaved person, if they look forward to that eternity because they have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then there is nothing that they can look forward to with any degree of joy at all. In fact, they should dread it, because it means that if they're not saved, they're going to spend that eternity in hell. And that's the great result of this great white judgment throne that we read about here in Revelation chapter 20. Today, as I look at the congregation, I cannot look at your heart. I do not know whether you are saved or lost. I believe that most of you, if not all of you, are saved. At least, so far as I know, you have made a profession of faith. You have declared that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And if that be true, then you are saved. You are a child of God. But if you have never actually trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then regardless of whether you come to church or not, and regardless of how good a life that you may live, if there has never been a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ, received Him as your Lord and your Savior, then you're not saved. And that means that you are on your road to hell. So as we talked about these two judgments, you're not going to be the one that stands before the Lord to receive a judgment in order to receive rewards. But your judgment when you stand before Him is to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you know Him? If you were to go into eternity this week, do you know for sure where you would go within this last month? I've attended two funerals. And as I thought about the funerals there, one of them I preached, the other one I was attending, I looked out at the congregation that was there before me, and I commented about the fact that the one that lay in that casket there, and I'm thinking of Esther Lee Martin, that she was one who had trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior. She had come before the church, publicly acknowledged Him, and had received as a member of the church. She had been a member of the church for I don't know how many years. But as a result of her trusting the Lord, we did not need to worry about where she was spending that eternity. She was with the Lord. The other man, I did not know. I did not know anything about the family. It was my wife's brother-in-law. He lived at Malvern, and so we were not close enough to where we really had much contact with him at all. Whether he was saved or not, I do not know. I hope that he was. But as I look out at the congregation here and now, I think about the same thing. Each of us are going to spend an eternity. It'll either be with the Lord or without the Lord. And the only one that knows the difference is you yourself. I cannot look at here in this congregation and tell who is saved and who's lost. I only know what you tell me, or what you tell others. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then that's fine, and I trust you're saved. But if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, then you need to trust Him and be saved. One of these days, it may be too late. Esther Lee lived to be over 90. I believe she was 93 years of age. The man that was buried in Malvern, he was in his upper 70s. I don't guess there's very many of you that are that old here today. I think Jerry and I are the oldest ones in the church. The question is not your age, it's do you know the Lord? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, I hope that before you have to lay down your body in death, that you'll trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Our Father, as we close this service today, we're not able to look at the hearts of the people that are here. I believe that most of them, if not everyone, has made a profession of faith. And I trust and pray that everyone is saved. But if there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this may be the day that they'll turn to you in repentance and faith and trust Him and be saved. Father, would you touch the hearts of everyone today, and that one that may be here unsaved, may they turn to you today and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.